Okay, that is our song. That is our sound. We get to start our program. Welcome to the Aging Well Together show. We have such a fabulous show today. I know I say it a lot because we really do. We have fantastic shows. But today is a celebration. I'm glad Alicia's already on the mic. Wait, I'm going to get the sound machine. Today is our 85th show. There's our sound machine. My mother used to always say, you know, if it ends with a zero or a five, it's a big thing. So it's our 85th show, and we have quite the get. Isn't that a term when you get a fantastic guest? We have soon, and he's rushing into the studio soon, we have Representative Alan Boynsey, our own hometown North Carolina State House District 56 representative, joining us today. And I am politically starstruck. Mm-hmm. I am so excited to learn all about him and how he advocates for all of us, especially those of us here in Orange County, how he advocates for everyone in North Carolina. And really, I don't know how much we can get into it. I'm sure he's going to be so politically correct, but how he navigates the political craziness that is our state and our country right now. So we'll see. I have had the honor of meeting him a few times, and I'm always amazed at how kind and approachable he is. Alicia, have you met him? Have you Representative Boynsey? Oh, wait, put your mic up, honey. It's your first time on air.
That's why I'm trying to recognize when I see him, because I do face recognition.
Oh, okay. You'll recognize him because we're going to talk about it in a moment. You and I were both with him on Friday last week. We'll talk about it in a moment why we were together with him. And that's where I talked to him. And I actually had fun doing some interviews. I'm now playing with video interviews. Janice Tyler asked me to do it. So anyway, I interviewed him, and then with my little iPhone right in his face. It was so obnoxious. And then I was like, hey, you need to come on the radio show. And then I emailed him.
And he agreed.
Right after the show. And what's great is we're not in session right now. Alicia is messing with me right now because she is waving to and smiling at
everybody.
Single
I
person
do that. I do that.
That comes. And since we're waiting for him, you're freaking me out. So it's really funny. So sorry for the distraction. We are, if y'all haven't seen in the new Drakeford Library, even when we're at our old studio, we are surrounded by windows. And so we can see the passersby. It is distracting, but especially when we're waiting for someone, and I am looking at Alicia and she's looking at everyone, and it's causing me to stop waving.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, so we're going to talk about it, but I was able to email him, and I'm like, any chance you're free next Thursday? And I think because it's not in session right now, they're on a little bit of a break. He was like, yeah, I can do it, but he can't be here for a few more minutes. But
I wondered how that happened.
Yeah. I emailed him and I was like, hey, time is everything in politics, window
that's
of opportunity.
Right. That's right.
We just saw each other. I knew I had his email. And really, we all have his email because it's a public email address.
But
you can all email him. It's Alan, A-L-L-E-N, dot Boynsey. And I'll tell the story to him how I know how to pronounce his name. But it is spelled B-U-A-N-S-I. So Alan dot Boynsey at NCLEG, which stands for North Carolina Legislature.gov. So Alan.Boynsey at NCLEG.gov.
It's exciting because
we've had one public official before. Mm-hmm. We've had Camille Berry, who has her own radio show on WCOM. What is it? Feed Camille? Mm-hmm. Something like that. And so she's a town council member. Mm-hmm. But this is our first time we've had a elected official from the state level
to be able to talk about a lot of the things that we want to talk about.
I'm so excited. Oh, okay. So what's really funny, we're just going to be tangenting while we're waiting. Mm-hmm. So you know how people pass by and we wave to them?
Yeah.
Irony of all ironies, my friend just passed by and didn't even look. And I'm like, wait, that's my actual friend, that person I want to wave to. This is the second time I've seen people I know, but a good friend of mine just literally passed by. And I was like, Debbie, look this way. Okay. So clearly we have a really exciting show. We're pumped and I'm over-caffeinated and I'm sugared too. But I will stop talking after I ask him questions. As always, we are so looking forward to everything we are going to discuss on the show. But before we dive into our show, we want to give a shout out to WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carrboro for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. You can catch our show most Thursdays. Well, you can catch our show every Thursday. A lot of the Thursdays we are live here in the studio. Mm-hmm. The show is from 2 to 3 on 103.5 FM. If you are driving around the Carrboro area, but if you are not in the signal strength area, you can stream us live through WCOMFM.org. But that is not the only way to listen to us, because the Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the amazing team at the Orange County Department on Aging. Besides being our wonderful sponsors for the show and expert guests on the show, each week, Marilyn Hall.
Oh, yeah.
Hole. Yes, because it's spelled interestingly pronounceable. Marilyn, who we love, who's listening.
Yay, Marilyn.
She posts all of our previous shows on Orange County's website.
Yeah.
So if you want to catch up on any of our 84 shows and give it about 24 hours, and then you can get our 85th show, or if you want to find a range of local Orange County aging resources, go to Orange County Department on Aging's website, which is www.orangecountync.gov/aging. Oh, that's wonderful. And Representative, I call him Rep Allen, Rep Boyncy just texted. He's on his way in just a moment. So again, www.orangecountync.gov/aging. And that's how you can get to our Aging Well Together radio show and all kinds of resources. And if you have questions about local resources, you can also go old school and pick up the phone mm-hmm. and call the Orange County Department on Aging. And they are 919-968-2070. And if you have any questions about our shows or want to suggest a topic or person or organization, please feel free to email me. And you can email me all smushed together, one word, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. I appreciate it. We're now starting. We've got just a few open shows left for 2025. Yeah, we only have like 3 open shows left. I've been scheduling. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also traveling a little bit in November.
Oh, okay.
And we have some holidays. Like,
I mean,
do we do Thanksgiving show? Well, you know, last year I almost came in and did a Thanksgiving show.
Well, your daughters should be in. Don't they like to
come? That's exactly what I was trying to get the girls to come in with me. But they were cooking, actually, so that was a good reason.
Let them cook.
So we do have just a few spots open, but then I'm like deep into 2026 planning, lots of shows. So, yeah, that's exciting. You heard a little bit of music in the beginning of our show. And so a shout out to the Carrboro Bass Band, the Robert Bradford Quintet, for allowing us to use their great music for our opening. And you'll hear a lot more about it, a lot more of it at the end of this show. And I try to have it stay onto the recording as well. So if you're listening to our podcast, you'll get to hear the bam, 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 bam. There we go.
good.
And as you can tell, my fabulous co-host Alicia Reed is with us today.
Hey,
I know. And you get to, well, she's playing with the she's playing with things, so I don't hear it as well on the microphone. You'll hear in a second. Alicia is the host of Afternoon Talk with Alicia. That comes right after our show. She's also one of the amazing, extraordinary wellness instructors with the Orange County Department on Aging. Yeah, I know. And I haven't seen you in action class because, you know, it's me.
Because you haven't been to any of them, Heather.
I have not, but we're going to talk in just a moment. Yeah. I have seen you speak and excite and energize the crowd.
To energize and excite and motivate you too.
Every day. So why? I'm just not moving. But oh wait, I do. Okay. Well, okay. I'll tell who I am, as they can already tell I'm chatting away, and then I'll tell you are going to be super proud of me. I took an exercise class this week. I'll tell you where. So as for me, I'm Heather Altman. I've spent over 25 years, pretty much almost 30 now, working in aging services and supports. I help older adults and their families connect with resources in our own community. I'm a caregiver for older family members. And at 54, I get to say that for the next 2 months. And at 54, I'm focusing on my own changing needs. So I'm super invested in how we are all aging well together. Well, since we have a few moments, and because we have got two physical fitness things to discuss.
Well,
number one.
Do the first one. You
on
said.
Tuesday, I was at the Snow Approach Foundation, Tipa Snow and her wonderful team that do so much around brain change and transforming how we support each other and our loved ones and our community with brain change. And I was doing a dementia training program. And it ended, and I was talking a little bit afterwards. And then I saw a sign, and we ended around 5:40. And there was a sign that said line dancing starts at 6. And they use their space in Hillsboro. And every Tuesday night, they allow this wonderful woman, Ruby, who runs, her website's great. I'm going to do a shout out, doublemartini.org. We're going to have her come on the show. She's amazing. And she runs a line dancing class. And there was a number of us. We were all middle-aged women. And we did line dancing for an hour.
Uh-oh.
It was so fun, and so exhausting. It was quite the workout.
Did you sweat a little?
A little bit. I sweat a little bit. It is a workout for the body, and it is a workout for the mind, because you're like trying to do the steps, and like you're counting, like 1, 2, cha cha cha, 3. So you're doing all the stuff. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I did it. But speaking of fitness. Why did I see you speak? Where were we? And this is, how was I able to track down Representative Boynsey? Where were we last Friday?
Ribbon cutting for Orange County.
We were at the Orange County. We were at the Seymour Center off of Homestead Road. And what were they opening?
I'm doing a fun test. I do. I like it. The Fit Lot, which a lot of people ask me, what is the Fit Lot?
The Fit Lot.
Got to say that T. You got to say that T hard.
Yes, you do. The Fit Lot. And I kept calling it the Elder Fit Lot.
No.
I did. In my video, I kept saying it's the Elder Fit Lot because I was thinking of, well, it is an older adult space. Well, but I hope it doesn't mess up the video because I kept saying Elder Fit Lot.
When you say elder, in America, I'm talking about that on the show. What's going on with this elder and old?
Well, okay. In a lot of cultures and a lot of times in people I talk to, they use elder in the most
respectful way.
Elder is the wise community member. And also because we have a company called Elder Fit in our community. So I think of that term Elder Fit. They were there too.
Okay.
So so how would you describe the Fit Lot?
NOP, new old people.
Well, describe what it is, and then, yes, you've got some new bumper stickers.
But you know what? It does remind you of when we were young and we played outside in the, you know, out in the places.
People were talking, it's a playground.
Yeah. Did it remind you of that?
Absolutely, except for much harder. No. But it's up. I tried to do some of the things after you left. You didn't see it. I tried to do some of the equipment. Like But it's a playground for older adults.
And you're getting a workout. It's fun. It's outside in the environment where a lot of us don't go out in because of the remote control or something. I don't know. Kids keep some of them going out.
I'm giving her such a hard time.
You know, it's the microphone.
She's busy, like, thinking about it. She's waving to the outside. It's a radio show, not a TV show. It's lovely.
But the Fit Lot, I think everyone listening and those who are not listening, you tell them, go to the Fit Lot. You can do it in the rain. You can do it in the sun. I don't know about that heat, though.
I mean, it was lovely, though. I mean, it's really great. There's like, it's a station. What's the word when you do cross training?
Right.
So there's like 7 or 8 stations, and you go around and you like.
Just you work all your body, your whole body, front.
They have like
back,
an elliptical
top,
type thing, and then they have a stretch on thing. It's really cool.
It's you get to do everything, all your major muscles, even your mind.
Well, and I tried to do a selfie. I'll show it to you afterwards. I videotaped.
Why did you wait till we all left?
Because
that was not right.
I'm an idiot. I can say that on air. Mm. So I just thought, oh, okay, well, this will be fun for the little video montage I'm creating. So I did a selfie of me being like, let me see if I can do it. This is really hard and I'm doing it wrong. It's meant to give its full attention, but it was a great crowd. There was a lot of people there, and a lot of our public officials were there.
Very impressed.
So we had Jean Hamilton from our county commissioners. We had Amy Fowler from our county commissioners or town council? County commissioners. I think she's a county commissioner.
County.
Yeah, Amy Fowler.
Yeah,
I'm taking a peek just in case he came in through that way.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, he has to come through.
Could come through that way too. We're having fun. There was Jean Hamilton. Oh, wait, I said Jean Hamilton. There was Representative Renee Price and Representative Alan Boyce.
Yeah. Yeah, right, right.
And then my lovely colleague Marianne Ratcliffe, who helped to do, I think, the financial support from Carol Woods Retirement Community. Great. We had the folks, Mark Hensley and team was there from, and Heather Burkhart, from ARP North Carolina.
Right.
The team from the Central Pines Area Agency on Aging.
That's right.
So there was lots of speakers. And then guess who else was a speaker?
Who?
You.
No.
You were a great speaker. And,
I don't do well. I'm behind the curtains. Better.
You did so good. You lie. You were energetic. The crowd loved it. And what kinds of things?
I get nervous now thinking about it.
Okay, well, I don't want to make you nervous.
Don't make me nervous.
You know you're on the radio all the time.
It's a difference.
But so we had such a good time. So you spoke, some of the participants spoke, some of the other exercise leaders. Kevin Kirk,
wow.
He spoke. Yeah.
He does a lot. I didn't know he had a book out there.
Kevin has a book
out
there?
Didn't she say he has a book?
I missed that. I was busy filming.
Oh, wow.
And then, so there was a big crowd. It was really wonderful. So, listeners, we highly encourage you to head over to the Seymour Center. Check out their Fit Lot. If you're looking at, you can't miss it. If you're looking at the front door, it's right to the left. It's big. It's a big.
It's nice. And if you don't know what to do, guess what? You can get a trainer to help you.
Yes, I loved meeting the new trainer. He did a great talk. What's his name? We need to get him on the show. He's relatively new. He's retired military.
Right.
And he was wonderful and gave a great talk. And he had part of his talk in Mandarin that he had a translation that was great. And then he's fluent in Spanish. And then he did the whole talk in English.
That sure did.
It was, and he was getting everyone
pumped. Mandarin, did he?
He did.
It was like, wow.
It was really good. And I got a video of him both talking, and I got a video. They did a sample class, so a bunch of the participants were out there. Hey, there's Rep Boyce. I'm waving to him. No, come here. No. Here, go get him.
Yes,
go run and get him.
He went. He's going the long way.
He went the long way.
He's going a long way home.
I know. All right. Well, so Alicia's going to go get him. I am so excited to have him on the show. This is great. And so, folks, really, go and check out. If you haven't been to the Senior Center, it is an amazing opportunity. There's so many classes. And let's give a shout out also for the Senior Center in Hillsboro, the Passmore Center. So both of them, and I think Alicia teaches her classes in Hillsboro and the Sportsplex. She'll come back and tell us. So again, amazing opportunities for classes, fitness classes, amazing opportunities for social and engagement. There's a food program there. There's the aging transition staff. So it's really a wonderful place to be. I hear voices coming in. Hey, friends, join me on the air. Representative Boyce, I'll give you a hug afterwards or a very politically appropriate handshake. Oh, wait, hold on. Wait. This is how professional we are.
I like that.
We are so good.
I like that.
I am so, so excited. Let's make sure your microphone's on. Representative Alan Boyce from House District 56, which is our neighborhood here in Orange County. Welcome to the Aging Well Together show.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Well, get you close to that mic.
You get to love on that mic a little bit. And then there's some water. We know you. Oh,
thank you.
We won't. Station managers, there's not water anywhere near the equipment.
Nowhere.
They are not listening. thank you so much for, I was saying how we, I harangued you. You were so wonderful to help be at the Fit Lot opening for the Orange County, the Robert and Pearl Seymour Center. Mm-hmm. And we got to see each other again there. And I'm like, you need to come on the radio show. And then I emailed you, and now you're here.
He said yes.
Thank you.
He said yes.
It's an honor and privilege, really, to be on here with you both. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you are so kind. That's and nice. I did a little bit of an introduction before and saying how I'm really excited in this show to ask you all kinds of questions about you and why you do this to yourself. The other, I'll say it more appropriate, what motivated you to go into politics. And I did say I'm not sure what you'll want to share about how you're navigating the intensity of our state and our nation, but there's a lot of political craziness. But what I also said is that you and I have met a number of times.
Yes.
Oh, I also said I'm politically starstruck, but and I still am. And what throws me is that every time I meet you, I'm always amazed. You are so nice and you're so approachable. And listeners, I don't know if you're like me, but you see politicians on TV and they're just like, oh, there it's got to be so formal. Mm-hmm. And when I am with you and as fast as I'm talking now, which I should probably slow down, I'm always feeling like I need to talk really fast because other people need your time and attention. Like, I need to let you go.
No, one thing my mom always taught me growing up was to stay present. And I do my best to be present with people. And that means slowing down and focusing on that person, focusing on what they have to say, especially in this office. I mean, a lot of folks have important concerns. So
I just thought he was cool like that.
He is cool like that. We're going to get into it. And you know what? I know we didn't get a chance to do it. Put the microphone even closer to you because I know, and I get my call. I can hear you.
She can hear us, but it's
I yell
it's
at
happening.
Alicia gotcha. All the time, and Alicia has her own radio show right after ours, so she's on this radio, and she knows about the quirkiness of the mics.
Right on.
And I've yelled at her four times on this show already. She thinks it's a TV show, and she's busy like, oh, look at that, look at that. And I'm like, dude,
I think it's heaven.
It's all good.
You are present, and I am present, and it's hitting me now that I think besides all the other reasons why we got you on the show, it's like, oh my gosh, I get to really keep you now for like 40 minutes and ask you all these questions and not feel like, oh, the next person in line wants to say hi to him.
There we go.
All right. So you mentioned your mom. Mm-hmm. And our first question is always tell us about you. Tell us about your background. Where are you from? And so we'll start there before we go deeper in all levels.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm proud to have been raised in this district from Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
My mom moved us here when I was about 10 years old, and I went to Gabby Phillips Middle School, graduated from East Chapel Hill High School.
Nice.
And I can't say enough really about my mom. I mean, she had us move all over the place. I was actually born in Illinois, but I went to 7 different elementary schools in about 4 different states.
Oh, I'm already seeing where the diplomacy and the being able to connect with a lot of people go on. I'm already figuring this out.
Well, I hated it as a kid moving around a lot, but looking back on it, I'm really grateful for it because it did give me a lot of experience talking with different kinds of folks, having to make friends quick. And so I'm grateful looking back on that experience. But I was even more grateful when we settled down in Chapel Hill, and we settled down in one spot for many years.
And my husband doesn't listen to the show, which is, fine. But I will say, like you, he moved around a lot in childhood, and it does have those pros and cons. And the pros are you do become very flexible, very adaptable, just meeting lots of people. Mm-hmm. And then I did do a tiny bit of stalking of you. Normal people, and given I know it's going to come up, you're an attorney, so I probably shouldn't use the term stalking. I mean, regular people say I did some preparation or I did some research.
I like stalking. That.
That's
boring. Stalking.
That's
like
a good word. Yeah.
So I was stalking you. I've stalked you in the past, and around voting and things like that, is making decisions. But also, I was looking about this, reminding myself last night, and I'm like, oh yeah, you are super local. You're from Chapel Hill.
That's right.
You're
That's right.
And so, but knowing that foundational effort about getting connected to so many people when you're younger and learning. And then I did see you played sports.
I did. Mm. Yes.
And I saw it because that was the other way that I think I know my husband and other, that's another way that you connect early on with people. But
for sure.
Tell us about your athletic achievements.
Well, I don't have that many, but I was quite active as a kid.
Whatever you have is more than me.
We're working on Heather.
I was actually at my old college reunion few weeks ago, and I went by the old football facility. So I went to Dartmouth College.
Yeah, we're going to get into that in a second.
Walked onto the football team there and was really proud to play on the team. My coach at the time, Buddy Tevens, he unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago.
But
it was good to be back in the area to see the legacy that he had built and left for not just folks like me, but for the players even now. And so my favorite sport out of all the sports I've played over the years is football. I love the discipline that it instills. I love that you can't achieve without working hard for it. And so I just love that mentality, that spirit that it really instilled me with. And then when I was in high school, I did do 4 years of track. So by the time I walked onto the football team, the folks, or at least some of my teammates, were calling me Wheels because of the legs and the speed. I wasn't terribly fast, but track did help me out a lot.
So I'm definitely seeing themes, and I was going to do one athletic theme, and then it does another one, which is football. Again, so I lettered in musical theater, so I know I do not do athletics. But this concept, there's a cast, so that's sort of a team. But this idea of working as a team, and I think so much about politics is ideally working as a team. Mm-hmm. But then you threw the track in, and track is an interesting team sport because it is a team sport. However, there is a lot of individual achievement and focus. And so that all makes a lot of sense. And I also saw you went to Dartmouth, and we are, I'm going to guess, we're almost 20 years apart in age. I'm going to guess that.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's a shame.
Sure.
Because
you don't play that with women. No, I'll take it.
Yeah,
take it.
I mean, I don't know. I turn 55 soon. So yeah, maybe around that area. So, but my best friend went to Dartmouth.
Right.
And so I was busy texting, and she does just a ton of alumni and foundational stuff, like fundraising stuff. So anyway, I was seeing that, and I was like, oh, but she'd already gone to sleep, and I was texting. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be with the Dartmouth person tomorrow, but so much younger than us. All right, so you went. So you're not unintelligent. So there you go. You're super smart. You went to Dartmouth. That is not that is a serious school, as is UNC. And then you came back to us.
That's right. I took a few years in between college and law school. Went to law school at Carolina, and I'm really, really proud to have graduated from Carolina. One of my big draws to going to Carolina was actually the UNC Center for Civil Rights, and that really goes back to my time as a child and when I was inspired really to want to live a life of public service, whatever that meant. But I was really inspired reading about folks like Thurgood Marshall, Julius Chambers, who was a founding director of the UNC Center for Civil Rights. And so, yeah, when I got that letter that I'd gotten in, I was like, hey, Carolina's for me.
So many great reasons to be coming home. It's such a good program. Take a step back, though. That decision to go into law.
Yes. So that decision actually came really early on as a kid. I can't quite describe it.
It's the diplomacy thing, but go on. Or you were trying to navigate. Do you have siblings?
No, I don't. Well, I do. I got siblings much later in life.
Oh, okay. So, I was like, or you were trying to like navigate and you were playing, you know, arbiter so many times or something. Or one of my daughters, I think she'd go to law school. She's not going to. But because she's always like, that's wrong. This is right. And I'm like, you have such a sense of justice. Make skill out of that.
That is something that my mom definitely made it a point to really emphasize with me, is that sense of justice. The first book report she ever had me do was about Paul Robeson, who was a civil rights activist back in the early part of the 20th century. And that really inspired my love of history. And so later on, when I was in middle school, she gave me a couple of books to read. One book to read about Thurgood Marshall, another book to read about Shirley Chisholm. And I can't quite describe what happened that summer reading about them, but I was really, really inspired. And I got a calling, and it was a calling to be a lawyer, to be a civil rights lawyer, and to do what I can to help people who are vulnerable, people who are being treated unjustly.
So what's interesting about that is when I think about a lot of my friends are lawyers. When I went to college, a good chunk of my friends went on to law school, and I did not. And what's interesting is what they were doing it for. And so getting and doing civil rights work, clearly you were inspired for that, but some people go into law knowing it is a track into politics.
Gotcha.
So did you, it's funny, you're like okay, you could disagree, but I said that like a fact. But the question is, did you know also at that time, not only do I want to go into civil rights law, but I also want to be a political advocate? Like, I want to go into politics as well. Were you seeing that as the sort of natural path?
Yeah, I mean, it was more so lawyer is what I was thinking.
Okay.
But, you know, certainly I'd always been engaged with politics at one level or another. I remember when I was in high school, I would actually go to Chapel Hill Town Council meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And,
nice.
And it came from, again, you know, my mom telling me about the history of America, of our people, of that right to vote. That right to vote is so, so very precious, especially
yes.
down south.
Yes.
And so I guess maybe in some way I had that somewhere in the back of my mind about politics. I didn't know quite what that would look like in the end, but my focus really was on civil rights going to law school.
And we will talk more about your efforts there and how you weave that into your work now and mm-hmm. the change process. Stumbling over those words. So then you went to law school, and then I saw you were with the Center for Civil Rights. Am I saying it right?
Yes, I was with
is
them.
It, yep. Yep. I don't want to get awkward. Is it still with us?
Yeah, they're still with us.
Is this where
did the name change?
Yeah, okay, because there's been some changes. There, we'll say that diplomatically.
Yes, there was a change. So back in 2017, the ability to litigate was taken away from the Center for Civil Rights. So it can no longer bring lawsuits, be a part of lawsuits. But it's more so an advocacy center at this stage.
I'm not doing math of your, because I don't know when you were there. Were you there at that time that they couldn't do litigation, or you were there when you were there, it was probably before that. So were you able to do the litigation side?
I did. I did some of that.
That's so, where I was trying to do this sort of chronology of like, but wait, you were there beforehand.
Yeah, yeah. So I had interned at the center while I was in law school. And then after law school, I did work there. And then from 2017 to 2021, I was a fellow and deputy director for the center until I moved on to work for the city of Greensboro in 2021.
Somehow I missed that. I knew that you were there. So you went to Greensboro. I don't know how I missed that part, but I don't know. I'll check the. So you were in Greensboro. What did you do for the city of Greensboro?
Yeah, so I was an assistant city attorney. I was advising their Parks and Rec department, their planning department. A lot of the experiences I'd gotten as a town council member here inspired my love of municipal law. Mm-hmm. And also, there's a lot of civil rights that shows up in municipal law, especially in zoning practices, especially in housing.
So, there's a whole, you know, the Cedar Grove, not Cedar Grove. I'm messing it up because do you know Dr. Jim Johnson?
Yes, I do.
We used to teach together.
Oh, wonderful.
So I love him and his
Brilliant.
Colleague, Alan, and sorry, I wasn't prepared to say that. So they do great work and they get behind the scenes of some litigation issues.
That's right.
And they have a whole talk about zoning for inequity and how so many issues around civil rights and equity issues get sort of hidden in either supportive or really problematic laws, you know, municipal laws. And so I've seen those talks a number of times and you're like, where the utilities are, different zoning issues, even parking issues, anyway, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
We should have a whole other talk. Show just on that.
Absolutely.
So I knew you were on the town council. Was that before you went to Greensboro? That's where I'm losing track of the story. You were on town council here and then went to Greensboro.
Yes, in Chapel Hill. So yeah, I was on town council from 2017 to 2021.
And so that's when it hit that you're like, I'm going to actually run for office. I want to see my name on some billboards
No, that's not how it goes.
Is that not what people do it?
No.
They do it to make change, not to see their name as you're driving down 15501.
Yes, to make change.
But that you said, I'm not going to do it only through like litigation and that, but that I want to be the person at the mic. Now I go to those meetings too, council. Mm-hmm. I do a lot more at the county commissioners meeting when I was chair and stuff. And you always see the town attorney there, others, and they're like second over, like, okay, here's the issue, or, you know, they'll talk, but you're like, no, I want to be in the chair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when I was, this actually goes back to the time I worked on Josh Stein's campaign, his first campaign for attorney general. And in 2016, looking back at the elections results, I mean, we had some really tight races that were decided by very thin margins. One thing I was really disappointed to see was the level of turnout among young people. So
yeah, we still have that problem. Keep working on it.
Yes, yes. So I think at that time, it was registered voters between 18 and 25, 48%, just 40% of those folks turned out in that election. And so after the election, I was doing some reflecting. I was thinking, like, how can we get more young people engaged, caring about what happens in politics? And I thought back to my time in high school, going to town council meetings, thought about the time in law school that I had spent serving on one of the advisory boards. And I thought, hey, you know, why not run for town council and in that way show younger people that, you know, there's room for them in local government that's much more responsive in many ways than state government.
Okay, now I am an
government.
How old were you then? That you were young.
Yeah, so let's see. When I ran for council, I was 31 years old. 31.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's a respectable. I mean, not good. That it's but I thought you were going to say like 24. Yeah. Every once in a while, we have people running who are like 24, 23, and I, again, don't know the ages, so I was like, okay. All right, well, that's you know, remember back and don't trust anyone over 30. So you like, you're there. Okay, so then you ran, and you were on the town council for a few years, and then you were recruited to Greensboro.
So this was towards the tail end of my first term or my term on town council, but I saw a job position opening with the city of Greensboro, and so decided to apply. Didn't know anyone at the city of Greensboro, but got an interview, and I guess I did okay. Offered me the job. I said, hey, why not? So I would make that commute from Chapel Hill to Greensboro.
Oh, okay, because I'm like, when did you come back, and how did that? Okay.
Yep.
And then this is where I always like to have multiple times in the show where I really show my ignorance. So how does working, well I guess I'm jumping ahead a little bit now, but can you, as a current representative in the House, can you also keep a day job? Like, is it a full-time job?
No, so being representative is a part-time job.
Yeah.
The salary has been changed, I think, since the 1990s. It's about $13,995 a year.
Dinner money.
Oh, except for you do get a perk I don't have, so I may run for office. Do you get health insurance through it?
We do. Yep.
Okay.
There you go. I don't, because as a running my own consulting and stuff like that, I don't get health insurance, so we have to pay for it. So
you might want to look into that.
Yeah, we're health insured. We're insured, but yeah, I'm not running for office. Are you kidding? I would be canceled so fast.
Oh no, hey, Heather, you're such a nice.
I know. I think.
Oh no,
went.
No.
I don't know about all this.
Well, actually, let's take a tangent on canceling, because I was in a meeting yesterday, and I was running I was running an executive committee meeting, because I run the North Carolina Serious Illness Coalition. I run the executive committee. We were having a meeting and I said something. They're like, I don't think you should refer to us as the board. And I'm like, I don't ever use that term. And someone said, Heather, you just said that. And I'm like, what? I have literally no control of what comes out of the mouth. I think because I was thinking advisory board, executive committee, they're like, you just called us. So I say things because I talk too fast. And I think, you know, there's a lot of issues. This is not about me. We'll go to you. It goes back to.
Good politician.
This is my fear that either I will say something that I did not mean to say because it just comes out. Someone would have to play back the recording.
And you'd have a smeared campaign.
Yeah, you would slam. You would be like, play, judge, play back the recording. But the other thing is, or I would say things that I mean to say.
Okay.
And I would get myself.
Okay.
I'll make one more point on this. I have started a cocktail party trend that is not taking off. But I tried this with a group of friends and nobody liked it. I said, let's go around and say all the reasons why we can't run for office. Like, what would canceled on, or what skeletons do we have in our closet that would come up? I thought it was a really fun. I'm like, I'll go first.
No.
I won't say what it is, but every 5 to 10 years, the reasons why I think I wouldn't be able to run for office change.
Interesting.
You know, like things, cultures. You think about why other politicians got in trouble in the past, and you're like, that's a big deal now. And
some don't.
I've inhaled. You know, like those kinds of things. Yep. And you're like, that's no big issue now. So anyway, it is a fun thing. What would people find out about you that you couldn't run for office? You would not play that game well because you have run for office, and you're apparently not scared of getting canceled or not scared of them finding something.
You haven't done anything.
It definitely takes a certain kind of mentality to put yourself out there, and no matter what someone may have in their past. I mean, I think everyone that steps out there, I mean, they've got to have some level of confidence that
that it's not going to be damaging.
I'll tell you off air my running list of why I can't run for office.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay, but so you decided, so because we're, I want to, you know, also in the interest of time, and if listeners are like, wait, ask more policy questions. So then you at some point along the way, you went from town council, and then you decided, nope, I need a bigger platform. Mm-hmm. Love this council, love this town, but I need a bigger platform, is what I'm thinking.
So, you know, what actually ended up happening was I decided not to run for a second term for town council. At the time that I made that decision, we had just had twin boys.
Oh, okay.
So, I remember these articles. Go on. This is when I started this is going to sound, I hope this doesn't come out wrong. See, I say in a, this is when I started to pay attention and I started to see your name. And I got to say, it was the cute baby twin boys. Like, Alan Poinsey's not running because, and I'm like, look at his babies. The first time I met you, I'm like, you have babies.
Yes.
Go on. You still have babies. They're still young.
Yes.
All right. So you didn't run.
So, yeah, decided not to run for a second term because, you know, when you're
because your wife said so.
Well, no, I mean, when you're that early on with the kids that young,
yes.
I mean, you're not sleeping.
No, you're not.
The world looks different.
So you'll be like me, and you could say things inappropriately because you're on a caffeine. I have no excuse having young kids. I don't have young kids anymore. But, yeah,
I'm,
you're like,
I'm
I need
the wife.
To.
I'm on the wife's side.
Hey, well, yes, of course. It's always.
He's not here, and I've gotten in trouble recently. I haven't gotten in trouble. Someone got in trouble recently talking about their spouse, and it was a good reason. Like, they mentioned a birthday present they had gotten for their spouse, but the spouse's birthday wasn't here. And I'm like, you didn't have to bring up your spouse.
Yeah.
So anyway, but I don't try not to talk about spouses and let someone else bring it up because, there's. All right, so you decided not to run, and this is when I start reading about you when I used to read local papers. Go on.
Gotcha, yes. And so later on, maybe a few months after I'd made that announcement, then Representative Verla Insko, she had announced that she was not going to run again. Now,
love
one thing
Verla.
We were...
I love Representative Insko.
I do, too. She has left
genuine.
An incredible legacy and really was helpful for me transitioning into the office. But by that point in time, you know, one thing had changed. More sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Twins miraculously sleeping through the night.
I don't understand because your kids are young, so I don't understand how
more
you're
more sleep, more relaxed. You know,
by the way, it does go. My kids are 20 and almost 24, and one's 2 hours a 2 hour time difference in Colorado. So now I start parenting, no joke, at 11 p.m. because that's when they're awake because they sleep all day or they're a different hour. They're just they're night owls like me. So my husband goes to bed and then he wakes up and I'm like, let me tell you all the parenting I did between 11 and 3 a.m. because like. Hey, Mom, can I buy this? And Mom, what's going on? This and constant texting.
No.
All right, go on.
Gotta move them back.
Yes.
So you decided, did you get the tap on the shoulder? How does that work?
No. So I talked it over with my wife and, we were talking about in the context of what I'd done at the town council level and the things that I had learned about what we can do, what we can't do because of the state. Mm-hmm. And so when it came to really important issues like housing, when it came to issues like zoning, like trying to create the kind of community that's vibrant, inclusive, not just in terms of race, but also in terms of class, making sure that the people who work in a place like Chapel Hill or Carrboro can also live and afford.
Big issue.
Right.
There's something, there are things that the state can do to help in that regard. And then also, in my experience as a civil rights lawyer, I'd also seen some things the state was doing that...
You could just stop. I've seen some things, period.
Yeah,
but yes, you've been saying, I've seen some things. But yes, some things the state's doing. Go on, sorry.
That's right. No, and I'm a proud son and nephew of public school teachers. And so one of the things that the state has been doing really since 2011 and really since even before that point, not investing in schools, public schools, the way that it should, the way that our children deserve.
This is dinner time conversation in my household for the past decades because we moved down here and I went down to graduate school, D.C., and then we came back here. Mm-hmm. And we were really excited and to have children here. And my kids have been through the school system for the past local school system, Chapel Hill Carbo school system. Mm-hmm. And to see the sort of consistent disinvestment, the breakdown
decline.
and the most amazing teachers, I mean great teachers, great staff, people who want, but they're getting just too many things taken away. I don't even want to say inappropriate things, but they're just their ability. So yes, go on. So as a community memories.
More than 50% of your taxes in Orange County is going towards education.
Did not
more
know
than
that.
More than.
But so
I'm
you're
on
seeing
the affordable housing board.
Right on.
She's on every board. Yeah, she's the ultimate community volunteer.
You know, more than our 50% is going towards the school to education, so we should not have slumped like things are doing now.
But it is intentional, and you were seeing that. That's the I've seen some things.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And, at the state.
I've seen, yes, and I'm continuing to see some things at the state level. And so the other motivating issue for me as well, I'll say two others. One is healthcare.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, I can remember when I was 5 years old, one of my earliest memories as a child, sitting by my great grandma's bedside, and she was not well at all. Mm-hmm. But seeing our family come together for her care, but also in years later, finding out about the costs and about the burden that not just my family, but many families out here have to deal with in order to care for their loved ones. And so healthcare was definitely another motivating issue for me. And the last one I'll touch on is about voting rights.
Mm-hmm.
So during my time at the Center for Civil Rights, the advocacy that we did around voter registration, about access to the ballot for citizens in North Carolina, just seeing a lot of the work being rolled back at the General Assembly level.
Oh, that's the word, rolled back, because I was looking at disembed. There's, and it's getting worse. We're going in the, it's not your fault.
Yeah, we're going the wrong direction.
But we're going in the wrong direction.
Right.
And it's fine. I have it here as part of my stalking. I'm glad, and I was on your website, and I was having, I just was really enjoying it. But you talked about these big three: affordable, accessible, and inclusive, as your like three big words.
Yes.
And then it goes into so, folks, what is your website? Is it alanboynsey.org?
Yes, alanboynsey.com.
.com.
Yep.
Because it's your, because interesting, if you go to your listeners, if you go to Representative Alan Boynsey's General Assembly website, it just gives basic stuff. And I'll talk about some of the basic stuff it gives because I did some fun stalking.
Right.
And then, but your website gives a lot more content about what you really care about.
Yes.
And so that's why it's a .com. So is it just alanboynsey.com?
Yes, correct.
B-U-A-N-S-I-A-L-L-E-N. Mm-hmm. There's so many ways to misspell your name. It's crazy.
It is.
One
it
L,
is.
Two L's, A-E.
And, I've got a funny story about that, but we can.
Oh, no. And I was going to say, so on your website, check it out because it talks all about, and really specifically about your interests around public education, environment. You haven't mentioned that. Public education, environment, healthcare, and reproductive rights. So let's just amen to that.
Yep.
All of that. But yes, you had a funny story, and then I have a funny story about your name, too. Is it about your name?
Okay, yes, it's about my name, yeah. So basically, when I was in first grade, that was the first time I'd met someone else whose name was also Alan, but he spelled his name differently. He spelled his name A-L-A-N.
Yes,
so
that's a popular.
After class, I went up to him and I said, "Hey, Alan, I think you're spelling your name wrong."
Oh, classic.
A-L-L-E-N. he just looked at me like, "What?"
Did you just call him double L? No, he should call you double L, and you just call him Hey L, and he can call you double L, and then you can't go back in time. But yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'll say it really quickly because then I want to get into other stuff with our 10 minutes left. So the first time I did a legislative visit to your office a few years ago, and we had a meeting through the Serious Illness Coalition and Aging Advocacy Day with the, there's always an Aging Advocacy Day.
Yep.
And I got to come visit with you and a whole other team. And about 2 minutes before you arrived, I talked to one of your legislative staff members.
Okay.
It was your, I don't know if it was an LA or what do you call the reception person, right?
Yes,
when you walk
legislative
in.
Assistant.
Your legislative assistant.
Yep.
And I was like, hey, I've met him a number of times. I'd met you like two or three times at that point. I'm like, how do you pronounce his last name again? And he gave me the trick on how to pronounce. You know, there's a trick about what do you tell people? And then I'll tell you what they told me.
Yes. So the trick I tell people is to think of the two words join C, replace the J with a B, boin C.
Oh.
Yes.
Yep.
That's what they taught me. Like, we're joining together. So join C.
Yes.
And I was like, I've been doing it right, I think, ever since. But I needed that. And that was so helpful. I was like,
right on.
Because it is. It's like, wait, you're so great. I don't want to mess up your name. So when you go, this will lead into a question. When you check out your, and we, before you came here, we did give your email address. If listeners want to reach out to you, the allen.boynsey@ncledge.gov for legislation. I'm like, why is it NCLEG? Oh, NCLEG. So it does talk about some of the things you just talked about, the things you care about big picture. Mm-hmm. But I'm really curious about how you decide what to sponsor, what to co-sponsor. And if you don't know it, do you know your current stats on how many bills you've sponsored or been the primary sponsor of?
I don't know the current stats off the back.
Would you like to know them?
Sure, yeah, please.
Okay. Yeah. According to the website, in case things have not been added, which, you know, maybe it's not. So according to my counting, you have co-sponsored. So, folks, that means, putting forth issues to become bills? Is that what we call them?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So these are issues that are very specific, and this is how laws are made. You know, go back to the how a bill becomes a law and how things are actually happening in the state.
Yep.
So I counted 144. Does that sound right to you? Does that sound low? That's what I counted. It's
okay. That may have been.
Could
from
that just be
this,
this year alone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
In this year alone, yeah. then it was. Okay. Oh my gosh. So it's 144 this year alone.
Yes. Yes,
and we're right. Only just a little over halfway through the year. Okay,
right.
144, of which 22 you were a primary sponsor. Like you were a sponsor. Mm. Like they have
right.
the first and second sponsors. I don't even know what that means. Primary sponsor, first name, and then co-sponsoring. That's a lot of issues just for this year. Go forth. Sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing that's really important for me when it comes to decisions about what I'm going to sponsor or co-sponsor is whether it fits into those areas that I talked about.
Oh, there's buckets. Mm-hmm. Public education, environment, healthcare, reproductive rights,
exactly.
And just basic civil rights. And
exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly, yes. And so that's definitely one criteria I use. Another criteria is, you know, if a constituent has reached out to me about an issue and we've talked about it, done some research, done some homework on it, sometimes I'll co-sponsor or put forth bills that stem out of those kinds of conversations. And then, you know, honestly, sometimes there are bills, especially as we get closer to the bill drafting or the bill filing deadline, sometimes, honestly, there's so many bills that are coming through the door mm-hmm. that I can't keep up. You know, I'm working.
You rely on your team. This is where we're going to get back to football.
That's right. Relying on the team.
Me doing athletic stuff.
But sometimes things even still fall through the cracks. But there are bills out there that I haven't co-sponsored that, you know, I'm a fan of, but, you know, because of busy day or a busy week, you know.
Well, it's also my fault. I'll own that. And by me, I mean all of us that do advocacy work, all of us with all North Carolinians and those that go to our legislators and say, hey, here's a bill that'd be really important. Would you sponsor it? Would you co-sponsor it? So there is a whole world. Yes, there's all the paid lobbyists in that world. But then there's also those of us that are just in the advocacy and education space that, you know, so maybe someone didn't come to you. And if they had come to you, right, and said, hey, could you co-sponsor it?
Yeah.
I don't know how it really works. But maybe so that's I'm just saying maybe there's a lot more. More that, and you actually did. I couldn't believe this. I saw you. You and I were eating bagels together at a wonderful event at the Jewish for Good, the Jewish Community Center, a bunch of months ago. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize just like a week or two before you had co-sponsored the important HB 349. You don't need to know that off. Audience is looking up like, what is HB 349? That's to require to update the requirements for healthcare power of attorney to make it easier for people to do their advanced care planning documents. It is very strong to my heart. And it's why I'm a public official too, by the way. I have also done my oath to the Constitution of North Carolina.
Excellent.
And the Constitution to the United States. Mm. I had to do more oaths than the president only has to do it to the United States, not to North Carolina.
Wow.
Yeah, do you want to know what kind of public official I am?
Yeah, I'd like
please
to
tell me.
I'm a notary. And you have to you have to do an oath.
That's
so I'm classified as a public official.
I actually
have looked it up multiple times.
I like that.
But anyway, and so people shouldn't have to get two witnesses and a notary. We're one of only three states in the entire country that require that. So anyway, you co-sponsored it, and I didn't even realize to say thank you. And then I emailed you afterwards. I'm like, oh my gosh, you co-sponsored the Serious Illness Coalition. We work on that. But so, yeah, I was going to say, how do you decide? And the bills all have to come from somewhere else? Or do you sit here and say, yeah, like, we need to do more? Like, I'm looking at the ones that you've done. The looking at, well, this was about Orange, Caswell, assessments, constitutional amendments, repealing literacy tests. Like, are those things that you came up with when you were sleeping one night, or did someone up to you and say, this is a big issue for our community?
Well, I mean, one thing that folks ought to know about bills that come to the General Assembly, oftentimes these are bills that are being introduced and reintroduced time after time. Mm-hmm. So the one about repealing the literacy test requirement in the state constitution, that's something that's been reintroduced time and time again.
Yeah,
it started with Representative Kelly Alexander. He was a great rep in Mecklenburg County. His father was a famous member of the NAACP, and he himself, he was big-time leader of the NAACP in North Carolina. But he had filed that bill originally, I think it was early in the 20-teens. But this is the latest iteration, the latest time that it's been filed. Unfortunately, Representative Alexander did pass in recent years, and so Representative Terry Brown, who's from Mecklenburg County, he's carrying the water on that, and he was gracious enough to allow me to be a primary sponsor on there with him.
And I did not read what makes up this bill, but does this somehow connect to voting rights?
It does. So
because it has the okay, go on. Sorry, yeah, I'll be quiet.
No problem. So basically, literacy tests, this is in Jim Crow South. Southern states were passing these literacy tests to ban black people from voting. And so North Carolina followed that trend, and so unfortunately we still have it on the books even though it's been made illegal.
Oh, come on. So Supreme you're just Court. Like let's
just
it's symbolic
it.
Because it's not being operationalized, you mean, but like let's get this off. It's
right.
It's not good.
Right. Let's catch up with the 21st century. Let's send a message to all those in North Carolina and beyond that we're getting
it.
With the times. Yes.
Well, exactly. And oh, my gosh, it's already 2:55. Oh, we can continue. Okay. Well, and also we've seen, especially when it comes to reproductive rights, some issues where they kind of bring up stuff that was on the books from 1800s that it's like, no, we need to get this off. All right. So I'm going to jump to my last question. I'm sorry. And
which
listeners.
You can roll. You know you can roll. You can keep rolling with
I
it.
I can roll. I did also promise him he'd be done at 3.
Right.
But yes, I can roll because we go into your show. But yeah, no, we got, this is where it's like, we got, this is so impressive. Yeah. We got his time. So for you said, constituents bring issues to you. I did want to have a whole thing of like, what's the craziest thing people have asked for, but that you probably don't want to talk about on air anyway. But what is the best way for community members to share their ideas and suggestions with you and your team?
I think the best way is the email address that you had offered up at the top of the show. Reach out to me by email. We're pretty responsive. My office and
Your website has your phone number on it, and it makes it look like it's your. I don't know what number it is, but I was like,
It is my phone number. So folks are welcome to reach out that way as well.
But email and handwritten.
And do you get calls?
Not often, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Very rarely. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm constantly getting you'll call your legislator about this issue. Is it because the issues that people would call? You're already supporting?
So, I'll say...
getting more email?
I'll say the legislative office number, yes, folks will call that pretty regularly. The one, I think, that's listed on the campaign website, that's a different number.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. But,
so, emails mostly is how you were communicating.
Yeah, emails and phone calls, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Interesting. And so, we didn't get a chance to dive into specifically around aging well together, but so many of these issues address older adults. I mean, civil rights issues, voting rights, education, supporting our community. We got to end now, but in just a moment, any last words that you're like, I have a microphone, which you often do in front of you, but anything else that you wanted to share for our group?
Thank you. Thank you for that. And really, it's been just wonderful being on today with you both. I mean, you're both so positive and you're both so energetic that I feel buoyed coming out of here. So I guess one thing I want to leave folks with is the times that we're in. These are troubling, unsettling times. These are times in which a lot of folks who are vulnerable are feeling targeted. They're feeling alone. They feel like they don't have anyone else that cares. Want to remind folks that, especially in this community, and I'd say across the state, there are a lot of folks who are scared, but there are a lot of folks also who are willing to reach out and help out. Mm-hmm. And so for anyone who's feeling alone, anyone feeling targeted unjustly, please know that you have someone in me mm-hmm. and certainly our hostesses here.
Yes.
And other people in our community that care. Mm-hmm. And if they reach out, that they will get a response for mm-hmm. sure. And I also want to say, too, that in a time in which we've gotten what we've gotten from the federal government, it's on us as North Carolina to step up and try to meet the needs in terms of health care, in terms of wages, mm-hmm. salaries, in terms of addressing the very real issue of rising costs. And so I'm hoping hard that we can get a final budget that is going to address many of the needs of North Carolinians, especially our mm-hmm. older adults. There's a bill I had filed about long-term care facilities.
Mm-hmm. I saw an ombudsman. Yeah, I saw that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm an ombudsman.
Oh, she's an ombudsman. Hey, she's everything. Right, you have no idea, awesome. Representative Allen, with two L's.
Awesome, awesome. But all that to say is we've got work to do here in North Carolina. And so for anyone who's feeling overwhelmed, thinking about what they should be doing, there's plenty of work to do right here in North Carolina, especially with 26 coming up and other, yeah. I'll just say other house races that we can devote our energy and resources to.
Let's make it happen.
We have a lot of work to do to make sure that we are all, we used to say we want to make sure Orange County is a great place to live and grow old. We say that for North Carolina. I would say that for all of the U.S. We wanted to make it great for everyone to live and everyone to age and grow older together.
Yes.
So thank you so much for coming
thank
on the Aging Well Together show. Those were really beautiful things you shared with us, and especially at the end. Listeners, you are not alone. You have us here. We can't see you. There was another person I'll tell you after it's a politician. You say, I see you and I love you. Mm-hmm. And so I say that to both of you with some just true love, everything that you're doing, everything you're about. And listeners, cannot, I see you, I don't see you, but I love you. I love you for listening to us and being a part of it. And so much love to WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carrboro for this wonderful studio.
Yes.
And to Orange County Department on Aging for sponsoring the show. And I'm going to get off now so that way it's going to go right into Alicia's afternoon talk with Alicia. All right, take care.
Welcome, 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 welcome. I hope you enjoyed that program. Almost went right into mine with Alan Boynsey. I bet you don't know who he is. I bet you don't know who he is. What's your mic number? I'm going to put you back on the mic. Look, I turned your mic back on. Well, he's over there messing with Heather. You're listening to Afternoon Talk with Alicia on WCOM 103.5 FM. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Go ahead. Your mic is hot. Say something to the people because this is...
Hello, hello.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm well. Go ahead and... You know what? I figure you might as well go into a few more minutes since you're here. You're listening to Afternoon Talk with Alicia and on WCOM 103.5 FM. And guess who we have here?
Well, thank you so much, Alicia, for having me on. I am Alan Boynsey.
Yay!
Proud to represent State House District 56.
Woohoo!
In the State House. So.
And so make these people know who you are and how you need them and what they need to do. What's
yes.
going on?
Well, first off, we need people activated.
Let's make them happen.
We I'm in the business of hope.
All right. Hope.
Yes.
Now we're talking.
In
I'm going to turn that up a little louder.
And we've had people, ancestors, older adults who have fought so hard
to be where we are, to have gotten where we are,
exactly.
to make this happen, for it to just what go away, not happen, make it invisible.
Yeah, without a fight, we can't. Yeah,
I know we're being. I've been accused of not fighting, and I've read all the comments about the black people are not fighting, This is not our fight, but that is not the deal. A fight is a fight.
Right.
You either want to be on the good side of it or the bad.
Mm-hmm.
Make it happen to make it fair,
mm-hmm.
a fair fight.
Mm-hmm.
Is there such thing as a fair fight?
Sure.
In America?
Absolutely.
All right. I just want to know.
A thoughtful conversation.
Okay. Well, yeah.
And a disagreement among thoughtful people.
And that's part of the beauty of a democracy.
Can we say that word again? Isn't that what we're talking about?
That's
democracy?
Right. That's right. That's
something
right.
happened along
freedom.
The way, and yesterday was all we had.
Yeah, and where we have freedom of expression, freedom of speech. We should all be able to talk respectfully to one another, but also make sure that we are ensuring our basic civil rights, like voting, like housing.
Can you believe we're still trying to emphasize that in this day? This is 2025, and we're still talking about fair
or reproductive rights. Why are we back on this? This was settled so long ago. Sorry, I took over your microphone.
That's good. This is community radio, and that's what we like about community radio. Because community radio exists 24 hours a day for information, this is what makes it happen. We're not being puppeted, is that a word, Heather? To only say this or that or agree with this or that, we make this real. Mm-hmm. Like you said, why are we still talking about the same things in our generation? Mm-hmm. And I am 66. Mm-hmm. Why are we talking about this and it was done already? Mm-hmm. So are we kind of like a hamster on a wheel?
We were talking about education before. Yeah, no, we are hamsters on the wheel, apparently.
No, we don't want to be that.
Well, you're a fitness person. It's a backwards treadmill.
I do that when I go when I go on the road. I do it backwards.
Right on. I, you know, I had to do backwards treadmill when I was recovering from a knee injury some years ago.
That's a thing? I thought I just made that up.
No.
That was a part of my physical therapy. I'm all about that.
But no, keeping it real, because that's what I'm talking about today. Keeping it real. Just let the you know what happened with constituents? I don't like that. I mean, I know that we have.
You don't like the term?
No, because we're the people.
She rants. Mm. This is what her fun. This is what Afternoon Talk with Alicia is. She's like, she rants about the most interesting things.
No.
But we're the people. But we're the people. Now constituent sounds all like,
it's too sounds scary.
Yeah, it's too. Mm. Right.
It's bougie.
There you go. And everybody, you got people who may not feel like a constituent, just feel like a regular person that you're trying to get through to.
Right. That's right. So it is all about the people. It's about making sure, you know, I'm a big history buff and I've been reading back on FDR. I was actually on PBS and there's a documentary that they did on the Roosevelts. And one thing that FDR was famous for saying was that government can be good for the people. Government can be the thing to make sure that people are playing by the same playing field, the same rules, but also making sure that our most vulnerable, that they have an opportunity to show what they can do. I like the legacy that that he left in that regard, but we've got much further to go. And we've, you know, been going back.
If we were doing that and that as a legacy, where are we now? Where is that legacy?
It's under fire. It's under fire. It's being not just chipped away at. I mean, people are trying to take.
Where's the law?
He's trying.
That's what a lot
he's
of folks.
He's trying so hard.
That's
he's
what a lot of folks hard. Are rightfully asking.
I was looking at all the things he's trying to pass, but then there's other kind of majorities. But we don't want to get him in trouble. But I saw you're voting. You're trying to get stuff passed, and then it doesn't pass.
It comes down.
Make it repealed.
It comes down to elections. It comes down to making.
People are not believing in elections anymore.
A lot of
people are not.
No, you're right. You're right. And
because
and I've
we
got,
see the results can be withdrawn as, you know, and not effective.
Yeah, no, you're right. A lot of people have lost some hope in that regard, and I can't blame them. But at the end of the day, I mean, the last and best way we have to try to claw back and try to move forward is going to be 2026 and the election.
I think we're going to beef that up. I think it's going to be a really beefed up election. I'm with the election.
Yes.
I'm with
them too. That's another one of volunteers. She's an election worker.
Gotcha. So, excellent. Thank you. But, thank you for your service.
Thank you. But I think getting people to do things, I'm not going to keep you. I appreciate you staying here.
No
but
problem.
Getting people to really understand that they are important and they do have a voice.
Yes.
I think we got to get that out there, that your vote will matter and that what you feel strong about does matter.
Yes,
it does.
And certainly, you know, we can't make guarantees in terms of, you know, just because you go vote doesn't mean that you're going to see necessarily the electoral result that you want. But if you don't vote, then there's no chance that we get something different.
And I think now the average person wants to have a home. Mm-hmm. They want to have food. And they want to have, I mean, these are some basic things in America that we are, you know, someone talked to me about still building $700,000 and $800,000 homes in our areas. Mm-hmm. Why? Who's moving in them? And we took the word tiny home and we made it bitter. You know, the new homes that are being, they're not tiny homes like bad things. They're good homes that offer a place for people to actually own mm-hmm. and have a home.
No, they're great. Someone's making it a bad thing.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, because they're tiny, tiny home. You know,
tiny's adorable.
We've got to be able to embrace all kinds of housing
so that
options
we can have our homes and we can have food and we can have education and freedom to.
Maslow's hierarchy. The very first thing we just need. We need food and safety and structure.
Like there you go. There you go, Heather. Yep. And she just ended that. I know you need to go. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Alicia.
Now you got to tell everybody. Tell everybody everything, how to get you, where you are. Tell them again.
So
now you got to tell people three times.
So please feel free to reach out to me at my email address, alan.boynsee@ncleg.gov. Or you can reach out to our office line, which unfortunately I can't.
You better not get that number out or you're going to be in trouble.
No. Office line. I don't have that offhand.
I know.
Unfortunately.
And I almost wrote it too, but I deleted it.
I bet you it's online.
I'm so sorry.
Yes, it's online. If you just search my name online, it'd be the first link that pops up.
Give them how you spell your name.
Yeah. So if you're trying to figure out how to say my name, so I'll give you a tip. So if you think of the two words, join Boynsee or join C, replace the J with the B, Boynsee. Join C, Boynsee. There you go.
There you go. Never go wrong. Thank you again for being here. Thank you for being for the people because there is hope.
Yes, ma'am.
And it's going to happen.
Yes, ma'am.
Because
yes,
the
ma'am.
People will prevail.
That's right. That's right. Thank
There's
you.
That number.
It's your legislative
919-733-7208. Did I say it too fast?
That's right.
That's okay.
Well, everybody, please reach out. We're about to get to moving. We're going to be moving. It's going to happen. We're going to rock and roll.
That's right.
You watch
That's right.
2026.
That's right.
Call on me if you need.